The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, let me say that again. Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 10th of October, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I've got two guests in studio today, a jam-packed show, but a listener asked me to reconsider something or to consider something. So the listener heard me say to Mr. Newry on a show last week or week before last that I need a father. I'm looking for a father for Halloween. I need a daddy to take me trick-or-treating. Looking for Halloween.
Jesus, but Halloween.
They didn't have, Jesus don't know about Halloween candy. He's a cool dude, but he don't know about that. Because you can't go trick-or-treating if you don't have children or you don't have a parent, right? I can't take Mrs. Leela Green with me because she was a healthy parent. At Halloween, she used to give out popcorn and raisins and candied apples and things like that from Red Cross Fair. I can't take her. So anyway, the listener saw me and they were like, Erin, listen, I just need you to realize that when you say you're looking for a father for Halloween, many people think you're looking for a sugar daddy. And I said, I mean, I am technically looking for a daddy who will ensure that I get sufficient candy for Halloween, but I am in no way looking for a sugar daddy. No, please. No, thank you. And I apologize if anybody got that impression from my commentary. I need you to know that I am serious about this Halloween candy. And there's a large degree of discrimination going on in this country where y'all only organize trick-or-treating events for children. I don't like it. So I am lobbying against it. But in the meantime, I ain't gonna fight it. I just gonna need to find me a father or an uncle or a grandfather to take me trick-or-treating. You gotta have solutions and you gotta have strategies. Anyway, this morning, I one of our nation's leading advocates in studio for a segment of the show. Today, we are going to have a tribute to Dr. Coraline Hanna, who unfortunately passed away this year in the month of September. Joining us today will be Ms. Sheila Culmer and Ms. Deborah Hanna.
Good morning.
To talk about the life of Dr. Coraline Hanna.
Good morning.
Before we get there, though, we have in our first segment, Crystal Darling Sergeant from Brief.
Yes, I'm the communications officer at Brief and also in charge of the Young Reporters for the Environment program at Brief.
All right, so we're going to start the show this morning with a discussion with Brief about this year's Young Reporters for the Environment International competition. The submission deadline is April 7th, 2025.
Yes. And that's for the national competition. So we'll select three and sometimes more, but the top three entries will end up going to the international competition, and that's in Denmark. So they will be judged there, along with 47 other countries that also have YREEK programs, and they'll be selected.
Okay, so tell people briefly, give us what BREEF means. That's an acronym.
Okay. BREEF is the Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation. So we're big on reefs, we're big on the environment, and we're big on education.
Absolutely. And the Young Reporters for the Environment competition, it attempts to...
So it's the Young Reporters for the Environment program.
Oh, program.
It's a program that schools, especially eco schools, because we have, I think, about 50 now, like almost 50. No, in the Bahamas.
Okay, what do you mean?
We have eco schools. So these are schools that have adopted a lot of environmental programs or from BRIEF. So BRIEF is the national operator for the eco schools program in the Bahamas.
Okay.
And many schools have adopted that. And in that same breath, I mean, this is not an open event, but BRIEF will be having its teachers eco schools workshop the end of this week as well, and also a public snorkel on Saturday.
All right, so teachers eco school workshop?
Yes, yeah. So that's for the teachers who are leading the eco schools program in their respective schools, and these are not just Nassau schools. These are government and public schools and international schools across the
archipelago.
The Bahamas. Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with contact information, right? Right now,
yes.
I'm a teacher. I just learned this year that my school is an eco school.
Mm-hmm.
I've not been involved in the program so far.
Mm-hmm.
Contact information so I can get up to date and begin participating.
Yes. So they would communicate with the with the school's person, because every school
has a coordinator.
A coordinator.
So if you're a teacher
and
you're interested in being a part of the eco school program
and your school is not, then you can contact BRIEF at brief@brief.org. So that's BREEF BREEF@BREEF.org.
Brief@brief.org. That's a Bahamian website.
And
I love that.
Yes. And we also do field trips as well. We're in the middle of our field trip block. So any teachers who would like us to come and do a presentation at their school or are interested in booking a field trip with BRIEF can contact us at that same email address as well. Or they can reach out to us on Facebook and our social media, which is at BREEF242, that's BREEF242.
So if
on all social media platforms.
Right, so if I go to the Google or the Bing or the Edge or the Bada Bing, just put in at BRIEF.
Yes.
242.
If you put in at BREEF242, you're always going to find us.
Links are going to pop up.
I want to say a million posts, but it's probably a couple thousand posts. But yeah, we have quite a bit of information there about all our programs. And we also have our website, brief.org, with the information for all of these things on it. The YRE, Eco Schools, all of our programs that people can go to if they want to explore and learn more about our programs.
All right. So brief@brief.org for communication.
Yes.
Contact. For more information about programming, the YRE program, at Brief242 social media platforms. Okay, the Young Reporters of the Environment International Competition this year. The competition theme is ecosystem restoration.
Yes.
Now, the participants can select from three topics.
Yes.
Marine pollution, climate change, or loss of biodiversity. What is loss of biodiversity?
So, loss of biodiversity is the loss of, right, biodiversity being plant and animal species. A lot of times when we like to focus on our key species. So at BRIEF, we talk a lot about the queen conch. We talk about the Nassau grouper. We talk about the spiny lobster. Right? We talk about the stone crab, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things we like to teach students about. We also talk about the bonefish and other very important species to the Bahamas marine environment.
All right. I learned recently that there are a number of subspecies of queen conch. So not all queen conch are alike.
Okay, that is interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to get back to you on that.
I know I got to do some more research on it.
There are a lot of species of conch that we have, period.
And an interesting conversation is, why are we only eating the queen conch? I mean, I know why. I can tell you why, because it's the easiest one to prepare. It's as simple as that.
There's also preference of taste as well, because obviously...
No. I'm going to challenge that, because... Uh-huh. We won't know if we like it until we try it.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of people haven't tried the other species of conch.
Well, we say this a lot about lionfish.
Right.
As well, because a lot of people think that you can't touch it or you can't eat it and that it's poisonous. It is not poisonous.
Lionfish is like a proper grouper. I said it.
Yes.
I'm being discriminatory.
That's correct.
A bit bigotish. Lionfish is a proper grouper. Grouper is a scavenger. Now, we love the grouper. We love what
of
it does.
Course.
It's a bottom feeder. It has it, but
on the close season soon as well.
Right. And so here's a beautiful tip. Mm-hmm. If you are a grouper eater, if you ain't never eat grouper, I mean, anything other than grouper from you as a child, because your grammy from the island and your uncle is dive up 10 conch at a time with one hand. Lionfish is the best replacement for grouper.
Yes.
When you go into your favorite Christmas restaurant, Junkanoo Boxing Day morning, New Year's morning mm-hmm. restaurant, you go there early and tell them, listen, yeah. I don't want you serving me no other fish on Christmas morning but lionfish, because I know you yes. can't serve grouper.
Yeah.
So make it lionfish because it tastes good. Okay.
It tastes great.
So the themes, marine pollution, climate change, the topics, marine pollution, climate change, loss of biodiversity.
Mm-hmm. And then we also could talk about the mangroves if we're talking about loss of biodiversity as well, mm-hmm. and different species of birds, right?
And
Bahama parrot, right, which is endangered.
And here's my thing. When you outside in the bush and the bugs bothering you, right, and the first thing we are quick to slap a bug to kill it, right? But you have to keep this in your mind all the time. What if this thing that I am about to kill is the last of its species?
That's very creative.
What if this thing that I'm about to kill has never been identified? Right? Since we have our phones on us all the time, now we can all become young reporters for the environment.
Yes.
Before we kill a bug or a pest, we have to know what its purpose and function and role is on the planet and in the ecosystem.
So document it while it's biting you. So take the time.
But I mean, dodge the bite. Like, don't let it bite. In the same way we say, don't kill a bee.
Yeah.
Avoid a bee.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In the same way, try to avoid it and
yes.
document it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could become a billionaire
yeah.
because you undiscovered animal species or plant species. Yeah.
And it happens. And a lot of species, like you said, like with the conch, but I'm not 100% sure about the conch, but it is very common that there will end up being like subspecies or like the same plant or animal, and one looks slightly different, but it is the same, essentially the same thing. So
all
that's
right.
also an opportunity to like observe how different
biodiversity,
right, grow in different environments.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now the next step in the competition, you select a category,
mm-hmm.
photo, podcast, article or video.
Yes. So the podcast is the newest one.
Right.
And of course, we know a lot of students now, a lot of young people that are listening to podcasts, they're tuning in. They are, you know, they spend all their time on YouTube, right,
mm-hmm.
or Netflix or what have you. And a lot of they're listening to podcasters. And so we're giving them this opportunity. This has been introduced this year, which is the 2024-2025 year for the Young Reporters for the Environment competition. It's this new category has been introduced because of the raising popularity and interest.
Right.
And a lot of young people to use this opportunity to you know, use their voices to speak about these issues in a more conversational way,
right?
Because we know that students communicate, or people in general, right,
mm-hmm.
communicate through different ways, and also that they learn in different ways as well. So it may
yeah.
not just be writing, like our traditional, which is the other categories, the writing, the video, the photo, which is all like pre-done or pre-recorded, but the discussion base kind of hits different, right?
Right. It's a different type of vehicle to push the content. It allows you to engage the participants in the conversation in a different way, and also the audience to the conversation, right?
Yes, and it adds depth, and it has the ability to add depth or a better understanding in a more conversational way, rather than formal.
And then step three, tell your story. The Young Reporters for the Environment program empowers students to share stories from their own perspectives. Students worldwide have highlighted environmental issues in their respective countries. Make sure your entry sheds light on a local issue while also connecting to a global context, if applicable. Please ensure that the information in your entry is factual, relevant, and current. What I was thinking about is conch biodiversity. How do we protect conch species in the summer? Are there conch species, or queen conch species
mm-hmm.
in particular, that are less susceptible to temperature changes
mm.
and algae or other potential contaminants in the water at certain temperature levels, right?
So there are a lot of challenges that when we speak about species like the queen conch that are sensitive in various ways, right? They have their eggs usually travel, you know, on the water, right? So obviously climate change and the rising ocean temperatures are going to affect that. Mm-hmm. We also have a issue with ocean acidification with climate change as well, which is changing the pH of the ocean, right? And so the conch shells that are built and made out of calcium, right?
Yeah.
They have an issue with hardening or, you know what I mean, developing.
Yes.
Right? So we don't, this is part of the reason why we want to call, shed a light on these issues. We want to give students the opportunities. And this is students between the ages of 11 to 25. So these aren't...
Could be tertiary.
Yeah, they could be tertiary. Like there's like high school, or it could be primary school, high school, junior high, college, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're giving all of these students an opportunity to use their voices, and it looks great on your resume, as well. So it's awesome. Even if you're a part of this competition, the next thing is you also get, and this is just a bonus, right? You get community service for participating in our competition, and also in participating in the workshops.
Okay.
So we don't just throw you out there. The deadline is April 7th, 2025. We're not just going to be like, you know what, just read the stuff on our website and do your thing.
And figure it out.
Yeah. We just had our photography workshop this past Saturday, and then we have our podcasting and writing workshop coming up, and then a video workshop coming up as well. So if you follow us on our social media and on our website at brief.org, you'd be able to see the calendar of everything that we have coming up.
Absolutely. So in preparation for your submissions to the Young Reporters for the Environment International Competition, Brief will also be hosting workshops. You just finished the photography workshop. Will you be hosting another one?
Yes, we will. It will be sometime at the end of November. We're still firming up that date. So as soon as we get that, which would be probably between this week and next week, we'll have that up there on our calendar, on our website, and on our social media.
And writing film and podcast, writing film, video and podcasting workshops. Now, Brief has a new podcast of its own.
Yes.
It is called Our Blue Bahamas.
Yes, and it will be on Guardian Radio. Haha, right here. You know, everybody who's tuning in now, they are people who, I guess, are fans of The Guardian, right? And we're really excited to be partnering with Guardian for this. And it's going to air sometime around the end of the month. So people can tune in on Saturday to listen to Our Blue Bahamas, where you get more in-depth information about all of these things that we're talking about here today on the show and many, many others.
That's awesome. And for students considering participating in the program, where can we find the podcast? YouTube, your website?
So it'll be up on Guardian's YouTube for sure, but we will also be uploading the episodes to our social media and our website.
Okay, and
once they come out.
If I think I have an idea or I want to be a part of a conversation, I can contact you guys at brief@brief.org or on one of your social media platforms by using @brief242 or going to the website brief.org to say, hey, I'm a young person, this is an issue in my community, and I'd love to be a part of your podcast to talk about it.
Okay, so that is what we are gearing up to. We definitely want to highlight young voices in our community. The podcast is pre-recorded. So there's a little challenge there. We definitely want to include. So people can contact me about, if they have any questions about Wiry or even the podcast, they can contact me at Crystal, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L, @brief.org. And so, related.
Okay, Crystal, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L,
@brief.org.
And submissions for the YRE competition will also be sent to crystal@brief.org. This is awesome. Again, the theme for this year's Young Reporters for the Environment International Competition, ecosystem restoration, topics that you can approach for the theme, marine pollution, climate change, loss of biodiversity. Right? And the modes of delivery, photo, podcast, article, or video.
Correct.
This is awesome, awesome. And to learn about the Eco Schools programming and then your field trips, remind people just again the duration of the field trip season.
Okay, so the field trip, our fall field trip season is I'll have to get back to you on that. But all of this information is on our website, and we are accepting bookings now. And we also offer, like I said, both wet and dry field trips. So you could do a rocky shore, you could do a snorkel, you can do a, yeah. So they just have to contact Brief. They can also call us at 327-9000. Mm-hmm. That's our number, to reach the Brief office to speak to someone in our outreach department.
Okay.
To get more information on our field trips.
All right. Repeat that number again.
327-9000.
All right. Sometimes people message me afterwards, yes. And do you have that number for that guest?
We also have resources for teachers as well. So teachers, especially teaching science, marine biology, we have beautiful posters of the key species I mentioned earlier, like the Nassau grouper, the queen conch, bonefish, all these, even the invasive lionfish as well. We have a lot of information on those mangrove wetlands, coral reefs. So, and those are, you could just come to our office in Caves Village and pick them up.
Okay, awesome. I'm thinking guidance counselors as well, in terms of guiding students towards careers. But also, like, you see a boy, and every day you see him at lunchtime, he looking just, you don't, he, like, catatonic, just looking ahead of him. And you have no idea this boy, you think he spot a, like, he was from the island. Mm-hmm. And he's sure he spot a bird. He see all the time in Abaco and Nassau. And every day he come right there to see if he could see the bird again. That's all. Oh, that young person need to be directed to an environmental program. Because they all, but you think that they just spaced out or they're not doing anything. They actually
active.
Looking for birds. It's been a wonderful conversation this morning, Crystal. I'd like to ask you to sit with us through the conversation so at the end of the show we can reiterate some of these details.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So we could reiterate some of these details. I got a couple of texts here, but I'm only going to read this one. The text says, Erin, I too am looking for a father to take me Halloween trick-or-treating, wink, 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 wink. I'm tired of working.
I think she's talking about it.
No, I think that's a parent that don't want to take their own children trick-or-treating. They're like, I'm tired of this. I want somebody to take me trick-or-treating.
I've actually observed a lot of fathers taking their children trick-or-treating now. I've seen that last time,
Yeah, man, we have this idea that we only have a handful, right? Like the good fathers are the smaller proportion of society. Yeah. No.
But maybe they just want candy.
Why not? We win-win. I want candy. The children want candy. We all have a good time. We become a great model for the community so other fathers could see, no, man, it's easy. It's just a matter of showing up and being available for the simple things.
Yeah.
He passed away long time in 1989, you know, and I've always had good uncles. I've always had, and not even, you know, like married into the family. I've always had good uncles, like a Wes Thompson, right? And an Uncle Reg Eldon from summer camp, you know? But sometimes you need a daddy to take your trick-or-treating.
True.
And we hold space for everybody who no longer has a daddy to take them trick-or-treating. And we hold space for those men in the community who step up to be that daddy. Not a fake daddy figure, to be that daddy in times of need. And we say good morning, and I hope you get all the Halloween candy you want to. Anyway, we go into a break. Crystal, thank you for that wonderful, informative segment. On the other side of this break, we are going to begin our tribute to Dr. Coraline Hanna.
To sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can. again.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call and make
you report everything? Hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green. In the second segment of the show, we are going to be talking with Ms. Sheila Culmer and Ms. Deborah Hanna about Dr. Coraline Hanna. Now, I tell you all, I'm doing this show because if Sheila Culmer asks, I'm going to do my best to answer positively. Secondarily, we're doing this show because it's Older Persons Month, October, and we need to begin seriously creating systems to capture not just information that is valuable to us personally, but the stories that build the country called the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And because of the way that we have allowed our society to develop, we have this absence of mechanisms or cultural practices that allow us to extract. And I want to use that word extract because it's capitalist, that which is valuable to us, but that which is the core of the people who drove this country to where it is and built this country. It is because somehow the prevailing political culture has difficulty with recognizing and acknowledging the important stories, right? Even important to their own political culture and narrative. Dr. Coraline Hanna's contribution to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is so important that I think we need to figure out how the University of the Bahamas and the Bahamas Psychological Association can host an annual Dr. Coraline Hanna Memorial Lecture. The contributions are vast and wide, and we may not have space to talk about every single moment in this phenomenal life and career, but we will try to today. Again, I introduce Ms. Sheila Culmer and Ms. Deborah Hanna, and I'm going to start by reading the obituary that was shared in the local media. Dr. Coraline Hanna, age 90, of West Bay Street, died at the Princess Margaret Hospital on Friday, September 13th, 2024. Dr. Coraline was by Nee Sims, grandparents Horatio Hanna and his wife Martha Hanna, Cornelius Sims and his wife Faith Euterpe Sims, aunts Dorothy Weeks, Dandas, Geneva, and Isabel Sims, uncles Eugene and Fletcher Hanna, Louis Sims. She is survived by her next of kin. Deborah Hannah Armagan and her son, Michael Armagan. Sisters, family of the late Marie Brozozog, the family of the late Olive Wells, the family of the late Maisie Wilkinson, the family of the late Violet Knowles, the family of the late Mildred Dia, and the family of the late Joan Mason, and a host of other relatives and friends. May we all be lucky to have a rich obituary like this, to know our legacy, to know our heritage, and to be able to connect to both the past and the future. Ms. Kulmer, please introduce yourself.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
You have to pull it. Let me see. There we go.
Good morning. My name is Sheila Kulmer. Mm-hmm. I'm a mother of five children. Mm-hmm. Donnie, Miko, and Ashika. Mm-hmm. And six grandchildren?
Yes, ma'am.
I think perhaps I'd stop there.
Ma'am, Ms. Kulmer, you need to tell the people you are a local disabilities rights advocate. You've worked for a number of years, I would say decades, advocating, lobbying for, and supporting the disabled community.
Okay. Thank you for that intro.
Yes, ma'am.
But I would just simply say that, I think my mind is on one of my former students. She thinks she's my student. She's 60-something years old. Mm-hmm. Just as I was about to leave the house, guess what?
Yeah.
My phone rang, and she was like, Ms. Kulmer, please call the ambulance for me. I sick. I said, but I don't know where you live. Mm-hmm. Tell your sister. I ain't going to tell my sister. She ain't going to do nothing for me. So if I could use this right now, mm-hmm. as a plea for persons who are perhaps reluctant to talk to their own family members, please, members of the family, when your persons who are disabled or disenfranchised or what have you speak to you, saying they're in need of help, hear them. Mm-hmm. Don't take away their hope.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to reach out, and when they do, it's an absolute need.
Yes, exactly.
I got you. Miss Hannah, Deborah Hannah. Now, in reading this bio, I just realized who it is I am speaking to. I was on the cusp of calling your son and telling him to come to the show today because I saw the beautiful tribute that he also left for Dr. Coral and Hannah. Please introduce yourself to the audience. You have to lean into the mic.
I am Deborah Hannah Amogan. I am a lecturer. I have a degree in biochemistry as well. I have one son, mm-hmm. I'm very proud of. Mm-hmm. And I'm honored to have one grandson.
Yes. Sorry, that's my connection, yes. I recently met your grandson.
And a beautiful daughter that he's married to.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Okay, so how do you know, what's your intersection with Dr. Coral and Hannah, and why is it so important for us to hold this space today?
She is my aunt.
Lean into the mic for me, yeah. There we go.
She is my aunt, but very much my mother. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was six. Mm-hmm. My mother, my biological mother, was traveling to England to school. And as I looked at the back of her leaving, and I was crying, my aunt, Coral and Anna, she knelt down on the floor of the airport. And she said to me, "Don't worry, baby. I'll take care of you. I wouldn't leave you." And I looked at her and I said, "And I'll take care of you. And I wouldn't leave you." I just repeated what she said to me. She lived that promise. Mm-hmm. And I lived that promise. And she never left me. Mm-hmm. Because even in death, there is a part of her that's still with me.
Yes, ma'am. And I can tell, right, from the tribute that Michael gave publicly, I didn't even know that story, and I could tell that that was the strength of the connection between the family.
That story gave me chills.
Absolutely. Now, I want to read a bit from Dr. Carolyn Hanna's CV, her pioneering accomplishments, right? We go through this quickly. So y'all, I want to juxtapose it, because sometimes we say, oh, a person is an icon because they've done big things for the country. But it's not just that they've done big things for the country. It's that they are constantly in service, and not just at a national level, but they see themselves as stakeholders in the lives of the people around them. They feel like they have a duty of care, and they live up to it. So I want to juxtapose this personal with the professional. Dr. Carolyn Hanna's pioneering accomplishments. She was the first advocated for a person with special needs from 1950. She influenced the first laws in the country, permitted children with special needs to attend school for the first time, Education Act 1962. In an effort to bring about majority rule in 1962, she assisted those persons to cast their vote for the first time. She assisted them in registering and with transportation, which included ambulances, large tour buses, and private cars. In 1967, she returned to the Bahamas from her studies in England and presented the government with proposals and programs for special education, remedial education, school psychological services, speech therapy services, school welfare, a national training program for teachers in special education, a national training program for parents in special education, a national program against chemical dependency, and other programs related to health and mental health in the Bahamas. She pioneered the Special Services Division in 1967, pioneered the Special Education Remedial Education Unit in 1967, or programming, pioneered school psychological services in 1967, speech therapy services in 1968, the first national training program for teachers in special education in 1968, the first summer school program for teachers in remedial education in 1968, the first national training program and workshops for parents in the Bahamas, first Bahamian administrator and senior education officer for 1980, authored the first Special Services Division handbook in the Bahamas. This handbook was used across disciplines. She established the first resource and support group for special needs individuals. She developed and executed the curriculum for guidance and counseling services for secondary schools. She developed and implemented the program for guidance and counseling services for primary schools. She was a national advocate against chemical dependency. She represented the Bahamas in England, the Caribbean, and the U.S., and pioneered numerous programs against chemical dependency. She developed the curriculum guidance for anti-chemical dependency program in primary and secondary schools, and she pioneered mainstreaming in the Bahamas. She introduced the concept of integrating the students with special needs into regular schools. She pioneered the hospital school that commenced in 1979. She co-authored the program SHORE in 1992, and Dr. Hanna was a justice of the piece. And that's just a brief segment from this biography CV I have here. Now, Ms. Kalma.
It's enough to write a movie.
So let's go to the phone line very quickly, Ms. Kalma, and then I got my question for you.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. I can't hear you. Good morning, caller. Hello? It sounded like we almost got you. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720 for Family Island listeners. Let's go quickly, producer. Let me get this. Let me see. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. There was a number that you were giving on the phone
for the organization brief? But I can barely hear you, ma'am.
The radio for Japanese car.
Oh, okay. So
can you repeat that, please?
There was a special hits at HitSpot.
Right.
They had a special price for the month of September.
Okay.
It was $80 VAT included. It's the HitSpot on Soldier Road.
Okay, thank you.
But if you go and you beg and you say, listen, I was listening to Guardian all the time, but this is the first day my boss gave me off. Could I get the special?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome. Oh, great. Sorry about that. Ms. Kalma.
Yes, ma'am.
You are the recipient of the Golden Heart Award, right, for your work in disability. Dr. Carolyn Hanna was a mentor. And not just supported your work, but encouraged you to see your own potential and value to others, to the country as a whole, and to make sure that you saw your own value. In the article, Golden Heart Awarded to Sheila M. Kalmer, I found this wonderful excerpt. Dr. Carolyn Hanna recognized that Sheila had a special ability for working with children with learning disabilities, as well as the disadvantaged. Consequently, Dr. Hanna recommended that Sheila be sent to complete the special education course offered in Jamaica in the University of the West Indies. At the time, that was a big deal, right? Being recommended for placement in a program. Just very briefly, who is Dr. Hanna to you?
This is the first time I'm hearing that she had written and had recommended me. And, you know, it's that same recommendation without me being aware of it endeared Dr. Hanna to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you why. I finished Teachers College in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 67. And I had the opportunity to attend one of Dr. Hanna's evening classes. She ran, I think it was a 4 or 6 weeks evening program for teachers who wanted to work in the remedial education.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Bahamas Association for Mentally Retarded, then they say that word doesn't exist anymore, but please forgive me, that's what I know.
And that's what the institution designated as.
Exactly, yeah. So I dare not change it. They had this relationship with some Caribbean counterparts in special education and what have you. And they were running, they were having this workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And it was private. And there was Dr. Carolyn Hanna, who found out about it. She intervened, and she didn't stop until she got the persons in charge of the associate allow her to recommend somebody. And behold, she recommended me. The school that I was at, I don't know that she approved of me, but my principal at the time found all kinds of excuses as to why it shouldn't be me and why it should be one or two other persons. But there was this tall, elegant, splendid-looking woman who stood agrounds to my then principal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, by the time they got this all cleared up, I was pregnant.
Wow.
So, that gave my principal at the time the argument, was she pregnant, where's she gone? But there was Dr. Hanna, standing tall and firm, quiet,
mm-hmm.
splendor. And she says, she's only going to do the training. She ain't going over there to have the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I was granted leave. And that endeared me to Dr. Hanna.
Mm-hmm.
And from that day on, Dr. Hanna and I, she wasn't just my mentor, my professional, whatever, in terms of the Ministry of Education.
Mm-hmm.
She became my friend. Whenever I had a decision to make,
she made
outside
herself
available. Of my mother, it was her.
Mm-hmm.
It was her.
I want you all to understand how important Dr. Carolyn Hanna is. Ms. Kalmer is a disability rights advocate, but she also lives with mobility restrictions and limitations. Ms. Sheila Kalmum, like the young people say, she bodied those stairs. She made her way up those stairs, and if you know The Guardian, that long hallway, because being a part of this conversation was so important.
Yes.
And sometimes we think that the greatest impact is in the greatest action, when sometimes the greatest impact occurs in the smaller spaces. And it's the small ways in which we give access to people. We give them access to opportunity, to the future, to the potential of themselves. And in that vein, I got to say good morning and thank you to the Honorable Fred Mitchell, who, when he saw me walking up Blue Hill Road towards Government House, trying to go and see Nelson Mandela, and I told him I'd catch the bus and walk and hike from COB, let's go. And he walked me into Government House with him. Sometimes it's the smallest things, right? The smallest acts that provide the greatest access. Okay, I want to go back to the bio. This is from the Ministry of Health PAHO Health Heroes Award Ceremony 2002, where Mrs. Carolyn Hanna was...
Coraline
was recognized. I want you to know, we got to go online and fix this thing up. Because you get a lot of people who spell it the wrong way online, which is why you caught me saying Carolyn a couple times. So M-O-H, let's fix this. Dr. Coraline Hanna was born in the Bahamas. She attained a teacher's certificate in 1953 at the Bahamas Teachers College. Now, I know it's the same person because I saw the picture, and she's quite a striking woman. You can't mistake her. Between 1961 and 1968, she received an associateship in early childhood education, an advanced diploma in child psychology, and a master's of education at universities in England. Her doctor of philosophy degree was earned from the University of Manitoba in 1980 in educational administration. As an educator for most of her life, she has served in the Ministry of Education from 1952 to 1984 as a teacher and administrator. She has taught at several tertiary institutions, including College of the Bahamas, Benedictine University, and Sojourner Douglas College. She has represented the Bahamas throughout the Caribbean and in the United States of America at seminars on drug abuse, family life education, strategic planning, and special services to the disabled. Dr. Hanna holds numerous awards for her outstanding contribution to the church and civic organizations. The most recent, now this article, this is from 2002. The most recent in 2001 is the British Empire Medal for contributions to the development of the Special Services Division in the Ministry of Education. She has published numerous articles in the journals on various topics of interest in health and education and has developed programs for children with special needs. Dr. Hanna is a pioneer in the area of special education and social welfare, and although retired, continues to contribute to the growth of the Bahamian society.
So you see, My reason, and I must thank you, Erin, for agreeing.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I just couldn't see with the contribution that this dear lady has made to the Bahamas, how she could just, you know, it's amazing how many persons who don't know Dr. Hanna. Mm-hmm. And what I want to say, if I never have a chance to say it again, even though you may not have known Dr. Hanna, persons with disabilities, the disadvantage and the rest of it, mm-hmm. whether you had met her or not, I dare say, and I would put my foot in my mouth perhaps to say, perhaps if it weren't for Dr. Coraline Hanna, we would not be having all this talk today mm-hmm. about special education and whether you're mentally retarded or not and the rest of it. Mm-hmm. It ain't so much what your disability is, but how we see each other and accept each other and we're willing to stand up and do something about it. And that dear woman, that dear lady, she did something about it. Even though she's gone, I will always admire her.
Absolutely.
My children often wonder, Mommy, why you always... But I'm thankful for her because when I had my disappointment in not going off to do what I wanted to do, a pediatrician, mm-hmm. it had to have been God in
her.
The mix. You know, it had to have been him.
Absolutely.
That intercepted. I hope I'm carrying on
her
the
legacy.
Work that Dr. Hanna, yes, her legacy.
Yes, ma'am. I also want to say thank you to Deborah for preserving her rich legacy and the wealth of information that you made available to me for today's show, and taking that role, taking on that duty. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. I must commend to your guests, and especially Mrs. Sheila Culmer. She is an angel, and I want her to hear that before her eyes shut in death, and for the entire universe to know. She is a wonderful woman. She gave me a ride from BCPOU, offered me bananas, and I never had that done by anybody before. She knows who this is, and I will never, ever forget her. She is an angel, and thank God for Dr. Hannah for mentoring her in that direction. And the wrong that they have done to her shall be corrected in Jesus Christ of Nazareth's mighty name. God bless you, Mrs. Sheila. Berenice Johnson.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
It's the little things.
Yes, it's the little moments and impact. And Deborah, to hold her so close, all of her contributions are documented to be shared, right? I want to continue. I want to go back to this bio. Dr. Carolyn Hannah served on numerous government and community and civic organizations, Girls Guides, Bahamas National Drug Council, National Commission on Special Education, Primary Principals Association, Visiting Committee of the Simpson Pen and Willa Mae Pratt Centers for Boys and Girls, Alternative Program for Youth, the Bahamas Association for the Mentally Retarded, National Task Force on Disabilities and Special Olympics Committee, the National Anti-Drug Secretariat of the Ministry of National Security 2010. She was a certified pastoral counselor at PMH in the Clinical Pastoral Education CPE. She was vibrant in the Anglican Church community, past president of the Anglican Church Women. She founded a number of civic and community organizations, including the Dr. Coraline Hanna Outreach Program, the Dr. Coraline Hanna Back to School Program, the Dr. Coraline Hanna Annual Summer Enrichment Program, Dr. Coraline Bus Ministry, and she would encourage bus travelers to make a positive impact on society. Pioneer Medal 2001, the Pan American Health Organization's Heroes Award 2002, Research Fellowships, Edwina Mountbatten Scholarship, Commonwealth University Scholarship, the Bahamas Government In-Service Award, the Bahamas National Council for Disability 2005, the Red Cross Center for the Deaf 2005, and the Honorarium Luncheon Gift of Life 2006. She also received an award. And just quickly to end, what others have said from the former Prime Minister in Perry G. Christie in 2006, as far back as 1967, she was able to convince the authorities that special education had a rightful place in the educational system. For the next three or so decades, Dr. Hannah has supervised, encouraged, and implemented various innovations in this area. Her role in strengthening institutions such as the Stapleton School, the School for the Deaf, and instituting special programs such as Program Shore is worthy of commendation. Through her efforts, special education can now lay claim to these resources, both professional and physical, in the national education system. Orville A. Turnquest, in his capacity as acting Prime Minister in 1992, Dr. Hannah is to be applauded for practicing her belief that the individual who has been thoroughly schooled to satisfy educational standards of his or her society invariably demonstrates the right attitude to peers, seniors, and life, and make a habit of cooperative, loyal, and patriotic patterns of behavior. Your collective endeavors continue to give the Bahamas a reservoir of invaluable human abilities and skills from which to build a caring, productive society. Ms. Deborah Hannah, I see now. Quickly, let's go to the callers, and then we can squeeze in the last words. Good morning, caller. Quickly, 30 seconds. Good morning, caller. I think we missed you, caller. I'm sorry. Ms. Deborah Hannah.
I think it wasn't mentioned there, but she was awarded the honor of being the first female psychologist in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And when dealing with mental health,
mm-hmm,
and psychology, and actually when it was the UBP and she told them that she wanted to study mental health and psychology and the ability to deal with special services, they told her that if she did such a foolish thing, because the ministry of the Board of Education was not interested in mental health or psychology, that they would fire her. She then turned in her bill. She then turned in her resignation, and away she went.
I love the Bahamas.
See, integrity.
Say, when people say I'm proud to be a Bahamian, I say I'm lucky to be a Bahamian, to be born of the lineages, right, of a Dr. Coraline Hanna, Miss Flora Hanna, even a Glenys Hanna, right? Like the women, the people in this country that have made significant contributions are why I'm proud. Not just proud, I'm lucky to be a Bahamian. Miss Kamal, we got one last word and then we got to go. Producer, just, no calls, right?
All right. Just let me
yes,
say one.
Yes, ma'am.
I think Dr. Coraline Hanna is to disability in the Bahamas
mm-hmm.
as Rosa
Parks
is to racism in the U.S.
Absolutely. That's why I'm going to end the show with a request from the University of the Bahamas and the Bahamas Psychological Association. Now is the time for the Dr. Coraline Hanna Memorial Lecture Series. Absolutely. Ms. Sheila Kalma, thank you so much for prompting this show today to hold space for Dr. Coraline Hanna. Deborah, thank you for making that promise.
When is she going to be memorialized?
Oh, and the details for the funeral service?
Oh, yes. She would be buried on October 25th.
Okay.
At Christ Church Cathedral at 11 a.m. And she would be a state-recognized funeral.
All right, state-recognized funeral. But we will talk more. I think we'll revisit this tribute as we get closer to that day. Deborah, thank
you. There's a lot not said.
Yeah, a lot more to say.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But you know, Erin, I want to thank you
yes.
for bringing this dear lady
mm-hmm.
to the public. Oh, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
It's my honor. We're all out of time. Thank you, producer, most of all. And Ms. Kalma, thank you for making the effort to come here today. That's a commitment to national development. You've been On the Clock with Erin Green. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Murray is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.